find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest most certainly goes without exception. He is a world-class matchmaker at helping aspiring business owners find the perfect franchise. Quite frankly, he is the founder of The Perfect Franchise. Mark Schnurman, welcome to the show.
Nick, I appreciate it. It's great to be here. My pleasure.
Right on. Let's get right into it. Most folks go through life, they never raise their hand and say, I'm getting into franchising. Most people think of McDonald's or Burger King, right? And they don't really know that as long as it's ethical, moral, and makes money, it can be franchised from medical to legal, you name it. Even something like a painting company can be franchised. The key is value, right? And improving the customer experience, creating consistency, something that you know all too well, Mark. And so my question to you, folks usually don't raise their hand and say, I'm getting into franchising. It has a way of finding you. Mark, how did franchising find you?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, it's interesting. I was in the corporate world for a long time and had some success, financial services and ultimately commercial real estate. And early in my career, I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, and my next door neighbor was a franchise consultant. And I wasn't ready for franchising at that point, but I always had in the back of my mind, that seems like a kind of cool thing when I'm ready. So almost 20 years went by and then I was finally ready. So I became a franchise consultant, and had the opportunity to help a lot of people explore business ownership. And then I was a franchisee two times over of a coaching franchise and a cost reduction franchise, which I'm still part of. So it's, I put my money where my mouth is in terms of being a franchisee. And then I built, launched The Perfect Franchise June 19th of 2 years ago. I transitioned from consulting into, running the business.
Mark, I can't believe it's been 2 years to see the amount of impact. I talked about value, right, and franchising and business in general, but clearly your organization is providing a tremendous amount of value to not just folks looking for the perfect franchise, but professionals that are highly talented and share that same passion within franchising. I know it because I've witnessed it. I had the pleasure of attending myself one of your conferences not too long ago in Philadelphia. And I was just blown away, Mark, the culture that you've created and the caliber of folks that you've brought to The Perfect Franchise. It's clearly something special. I'm just so happy for you and your team and the folks at The Perfect Franchise. You certainly have a big fan in myself. I just love everything that you guys are doing. And I love the people that make up The Perfect Franchise. So, just coming from myself, a franchisor in the space, I've been to a lot of conferences. I've seen a lot of franchise consulting networks. And I know what value looks like when it comes to helping folks find the perfect franchise. And I'll tell you what, just the people, that's it. Enough said, you know, you can research all day long, but being at your conference and experiencing it and the love that the people in your organization have for what they do and one another and your leadership, Mark. So thank you for everything that you do in the industry. I know you work tirelessly to bring this to life, to bring other people value. It's not just aspiring business owners. It's the franchise space as a whole. You're certainly helping us to level up.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It means a lot coming from you. You know, it's funny because, you know, 2 years ago when I launched, it was, we'd have a few consultants and we'd build a little team. And it's grown well beyond that, and which is wonderful. It gives us the opportunity to help more people, work with wonderful franchisors like you. And you said it right. It all comes down to people. And at the Perfect Franchise, we think we have the best people from a support or from a consulting standpoint and from a partner standpoint. The brands that we work with are to a brand amazing, and they have great leadership and, you know, are endeavor to do their best to help all of their franchisees succeed. And that's what we're in it for, changing people's lives. Right. And, you know, it's interesting because, and I tell anyone who wants to listen to this is like, when I was a consultant, and I don't do the consulting right now, but for our consultants, like, you know what, most of the people we speak to, franchising isn't the right path for them. And it's, we come from a world of abundance and we believe that, you know, there's a lot of business out there for everybody. And, you know, if you should stay in a career, go ahead and stay in it. If you should be a franchise owner, go ahead and stay in it or go ahead and become one. And that mindset, I think, is so crucial because when you come from abundance, you do right by everybody.
Mm. Well said. You know, what is your vision for the Perfect Franchise? Where is your organization going, you know, let's say in an ideal world over the next couple of years?
Yeah, so I'm more of a directional person than I am in terms of laying out everything. But I think very similar to what we've done, we want to continue to identify top talent in the franchise consulting space, onboard them. Every time a new consultant joins us, it's amazing because when we started a couple of years ago, we had a model and the model was really good. And then this person joined and this person joined and everybody makes it better. And so it's just finding people. It's kind of like reverse Jenga, right? It's how do you just keep adding pieces to make the whole stronger? And the collaboration and the culture and the relationships and the people and the support. One of the things that I think makes us unique in the franchise consulting space is that any of our consultants, the newest to the most successful, can pick up the phone, talk to anybody else, ask them, hey, can you advise me on this? How would you handle this? And they support them. So that's the culture we're trying to, you know, just enhance. And how do we make it better than it is? And maybe it means we add, you know, 5 or 10 more people. Maybe we don't add anybody else and we just make it stronger. But the goal of everything that we do is to support the candidates that go through it and give them the best experience and the best outcomes so they can maximize their lives and really achieve whatever it is they're looking to achieve. Mm.
Yeah. And to that end, you've obviously helped thousands of people navigate, you know, the noise. What's the number one mistake people make when trying to find the perfect franchise for their life?
Yeah, number one, I'd probably say they don't go through the process with the level of commitment to the process, because it's really easy to make a mistake. And this is a big investment of time, money, emotions. Like it's huge. You have to know yourself as you're going through the process. And you have to ask the right questions, spend the time to find the right match. I remember when I first became a consultant, one of the first 2 or 3 people I spoke to, he told me he was a franchisee and that it wasn't working out for him. And I asked him why. He's a very successful individual. But I asked him why. And he said, well, I love coaching. but they never told me in coaching I needed to get clients. I thought all the clients would come to me. So, right. So it's, you just need to match your skill set to the requirements of that franchise. And I think a lot of times people like the end product, don't do enough due diligence. I like coaching. You know, I like painting. I like to work out. Therefore, I should own a gym. Right. Or I like to cook. Therefore, I should own a restaurant. It doesn't work that way. So it's just really taking the time. And one of the things that we do at The Perfect Franchise, so I wrote the book, The Perfect Franchise. I don't want to say all of our candidates get it, but most of our candidates get the book. And for those who don't, we send out chapters of it. You have to educate yourself in the franchise ecosystem and understand where an individual franchise sits within it and how the systems are important. And just really educate yourself on franchising and then on the individual brands and see if it's the right match for you. So it's the commitment piece. Mm.
Yeah, having that kind of resource to lean on with a consultant in tandem, that's a powerful combination. You know, if I'm going through that process and I'm looking into finding the perfect franchise, what's the first question that I should start with?
So there, I don't know that I have one question, but it's how much time do I have? Am I going to do it full time? Am I going to do it on the side? Because that significantly narrows. Number two, how much money can I invest? Number three, what are my skills? When it comes to skills, perhaps the one that people make the mistake on most, like I mentioned at the coaching, is the sales piece. The sales and marketing, because there are some brands out there that require you in large part to fill the top of the sales funnel. A lot of people can't do that. Or there's some that they'll do some of the funnel for you, but you need a strong ground game and you need to be able to do that. You have to just know what you're signing up for. But those are the three things, because if you understand what you want the marketing to look like, how much money you have to invest and how much time, that begins to really narrow it down significantly.
Right. How do you start seeing that somebody has found the perfect fit, right? What are some of those signs?
Yeah, interestingly enough, it's not excitement, okay? Because excitement is just an emotion. And when we start to hear emotions, we try to dig underneath. So we have something, Nick, that we call the six factor analysis. And we try to use that at the core of our due diligence. And it's, how do I get customers? The sales and marketing. It is, what are the operations of the business look like? How do I hire people, supply chain, things like that. What's a day in the life look like? You know, what am I doing? What can I hire for? The economics, cost of entry, how much money can I make, expenses, things like that. Then it's the value proposition of the brand to the franchisee. Okay, how are they going to uniquely support you? And it's the last one is the value proposition of the brand to the client, right? What makes this brand different? And with those in mind, one of the things that's important is we will, every step of the way, so when the client's talking about marketing, and they're excited about the brand, and they just spoke to the brand about marketing, we'll say to them, okay, tell us about how you understand the marketing. We want to make sure that they understand it correctly. Great. What do you like about it? What are your concerns? So do you understand what you're doing in it? Yes, I'm doing X, Y, and Z. Are you comfortable doing X, Y, and Z? So as we go through the process, we're trying to take the emotions out and sort of the factual, the empirical piece, the objective piece, have them focus on it. And as we're doing that, that enables us, Nick, to say to them, hey, look, this seems like it's a good fit for you. Do you agree? Or based on what you're saying, it sounds like you think it's a good fit. And we'll also say, hey, look, I know you're excited about it, but I have some concerns as we're talking that you're not sure if this is right. You know, well, I like the end product. The end product's great, but you have to run the business. And so we used the six factors to really drive a lot of that.
Right. Absolutely. The word that comes to mind is due diligence. And that ultimately leads to sustainability, which is critical.
100%.
Yeah, you want to make sure that it is beyond the initial knee-jerk reaction, which is usually emotional, right? Let's dive in there and navigate mini gut checks.
Emotions are trouble. So I told you we may have a little hack game today, but emotions are trouble. And it, you know, I think the number is 62% of Americans survey say they want to be their own boss and have their own business, but only like 8 or 9% ultimately do. And the reason is they let their emotions get involved. And by the way, emotions can help you make a mistake in terms of, you know, oh, I love this, I'm going to do it. And they can keep you, make the mistake the other way, keep you from going forward. And so I always like to think of emotions and fear in particular as fear is not a stop sign. Fear is a proceed with caution. And if you use fear correctly and channel it correctly, it's a force multiplier that helps you improve, like you mentioned, your due diligence. I wake up every day, Nick, I don't know about you. I wake up every day and I'm scared because there are plenty of people out there who want to eat my lunch. And so if I'm not working hard, if I'm not working smart, if I'm not trying to be innovative, the business struggles. And so, you know, it's how do you harness fear? And a red flag sometimes is when I'll talk to somebody and, you know, and fear is overwhelming for them, they're catastrophizing, they're not going to probably be able to channel their fear into a positive response. And early in the process with our consultants, we say to our candidates, you know, fear is a normal, natural part of the process. Do you have any fears at this point? And this is all the way at the beginning. And, you know, they'll give us their fears or they'll say they don't have any. When they say they don't have any, we say, we're going to revisit this because there are some things. They may not seem big to you now, but they will be. And we always ask for permission. So we'll say, hey, listen, Nick, as we go through this process, if I see fear, can I name it? Can we discuss it? And they always say yes. And it really enables us to handle it because if you let fear grow, it becomes a wall that you can't get through. But if you manage it and tamp it down, then the candidate begins to understand its fear. And it could be, wow, this is a lot of money. Yeah, it is, but you could afford it. And you told us that you weren't concerned about that much money. So it's probably not about the money. It's probably about fear, you know, and it's just naming it. Because if you don't name fear, and you're addressing the wrong issue in a lot of cases.
Yeah, so well said. And that is the core of entrepreneurship, navigating uncertainty, executing despite having all of the answers. And that's just the reality of being a leader and the people that you lead and the community that you serve. You know, they need you to execute concisely, even when, yeah, you're navigating fear. And I love that you're starting to coach folks so that it becomes a force multiplier and not a thief, and it doesn't steal their dreams. Because to your point, right, they entered this process, they're doing it, they want your coaching, they want to be empowered, but people don't go through this every day, right? And this is usually somebody's first time acquiring a franchise, and that's why it's so important to work with somebody that has been there, done it, and is world-class, frankly, at helping you find the perfect franchise. So Mark, I want to transition, you know, but stay along the same theme here. You know, most people chase hype, right? How do you help someone see beyond marketing and spot the franchise that's right for them, not just the hottest trend?
Yeah, you know, it's when we see somebody coming in and they say, can I have a Chick-fil-A? Or, you know, we're just like, you know, we may not be the right people for you. Nothing against Chick-fil-A, but we may not be the right people. Like we sell the process. So the goal is that, you know, great, you love XYZ. We will show you XYZ. But we're also going to show you A, B, and C, and we're going to ask you to go through the process with you know, three brands, let's say, and so that you're learning everything about three brands, and you can and we're going to talk to you weekly, and we're going to say, hey, what's new? What do you like about the brand? What are your concerns? And everything is focused on, does this fit you? Like, I understand you like this, but do you really have enough time for it? And, you know, semi-absentee ownership, right? Like, it's really hard to do. Now, you can do it in some brands because the ecosystem supports it, but there are plenty that aren't. Or occasionally you have somebody who says, yeah, I have a full-time job, but I have 30 hours. I can do it, no problem. And then, you know, and then you meet with them for a couple of weeks and you realize that they cancel every other appointment because they're too busy. You know, and it's like you have to be straight with them. But it's an interesting thing because you're dealing with humans. And everybody's unique and everybody doesn't necessarily understand their strengths and their weaknesses and what they can do and what they can't do. And our job, and it's not always possible to get it right, is to be able to manage that so that we can say to them, hey, listen, I know you think this, but I'm not seeing it. Because sometimes we do see it, even if it isn't there, because they're putting on a face.
Right. That's so often the case. And so doing that due diligence and having a finite process as a coach, as a consultant, I'm hearing that it helps you navigate that human factor. My gosh, Mark, I told you, you were going to level up on today's show. I know I certainly am. This is powerful, right? Franchise ownership is the key to the American dream, which is business ownership. And that provides so many things. Not every business or just the title business owner provides all the benefits of business ownership. There are many different forms of business and many different types of folks. And so finding that right fit, that perfect franchise, it's what I'm hearing, Mark, is it's unique for everybody.
It is unique for everybody. And that's, you know, as you mentioned earlier, people typically go through this once or twice. You know, but the vast majority go through it one time. And so they don't understand. And so it's slowing everything down. It's you were a wrestler. So I'm guessing the first time you wrestled somebody who was really good, it's like, oh, my God, what just happened? Although you were probably the guy who was the really good one. But, you know, like the more you do things, the more it slows down. And it's incumbent upon us as consultants to help our clients slow down. And to take the time and, you know, to really go through it so they understand. And, you know, we do questionnaires and we do different things with them, but it's really these conversations. And, you know, a big one that is often overlooked is the reason candidates don't move forward is almost never the individual brand. You know, we're showing them three brands typically. Or they're talking and we show them more perhaps, but they're typically going to choose three brands to meet with. And they're good brands. But as we go forward, it's fear, which we try to manage, but it's also, does this really make sense in my life? And how does this work in my life? And at the beginning of the process, our clients are awesome. They're very bright. They're successful. They've achieved a lot. And they don't really know. So when somebody comes in and says, I want a Chick-fil-A or I want a gym, that's great. But they don't know what that means. They don't know what impact it's going to have on their life from a time standpoint, a work standpoint, a freedom, autonomy, a building a legacy, a financial. They just don't know because it takes time to learn that. So we, again, sell our process, which is a systematic discovery of franchising and really what can work in your life. Because the principle that we have is, A, you should never sell anybody a franchise. They have to want it. If they don't want it, so when we talk to somebody, we say, hey, what's got you interested in franchising? And they say, nothing, I don't want to own a franchise. We don't say, oh, you should want to. Let's convince them. We say, no problem. We wish you the best. Because we're not going to convince them. But the other piece is, Nick, we're talking about franchising, but it's in the context of your life. So it's, does owning a franchise make your life better? If the answer is yes, then you should 100% explore and perhaps join a franchise. But at the beginning of the process, the answer is, I don't really know, because I don't know enough about franchising. And it's going through that. And the end, it's always, this has to make your life better or don't do it.
Right. Absolutely. And I feel like so much of our conversation is around this point. And something I wanted to hear from you, Mark, because you talk a lot about aligning a franchise with lifestyle, values, and goals. Can you break down your framework for evaluating fit across these areas?
Yeah. And I will tell you, just for me personally, when I left the corporate world and got into franchising, I didn't want to travel anymore. I used to commute from New Jersey into New York. And it was a big commute for a number of years. And when I left it, like, I live on a river in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. And it was so important. Like, that was the most important thing for me, right? My why was I wanted to live in nature. I wanted to provide for my family. I wanted to add value to other people's lives. And I wanted the freedom to live in a place where I can't have a job because there's nothing around me. And so that was important. So it starts off with understanding what the person's why is. And usually there are two or three things that are the primary driver in somebody's life, right? It could be, I want to provide for my family, or maybe my family's gone. I want a legacy. I want freedom. I want autonomy. So we try to understand what that why is, because that why is the deep driver that everything else flows from. And a lot of times people don't understand what their why is. I know when I was in the corporate world, I probably didn't. I probably thought it was, I needed to make a good living and provide for my family, but I traded, and I wasn't unhappy, but I was unfulfilled. So I traded money for my fulfillment. And, you know, and people do that a lot. And it's interesting. So Nick, I had a candidate in, I can't remember, I guess it was suburban Chicago, like an hour outside Chicago. And when he came to me, he said, my why is I don't want to die. You can't make this up. I don't want to die. I said, what does that mean? He said, he was about 50 years old. And he said, look, he goes, I can't retire for another 10 or 12 years. And this job will kill me. And I was like, wow, that's a pretty powerful why. But he was so wrought with fear that he couldn't move forward. So at the end, I said to him, I said, just so I understand, fear of, you know, stepping outside of your comfort zone is greater than the fear of dying, which you told me. He goes, no, I will die in the next 10 years on the job, but I can't do it. So it's like, but it typically you don't have that barrier that's significant, but it's understanding what people's whys are and then trying to find something that will help them align with it. One of the things I'll tell you, I never asked clients, they would bring it up sometimes. I never asked them how much money they wanted to make. And the reason I didn't do that is because that's just a multiplier, right? So if you can make 100,000 with one territory, if that's what you believe you can make, and you want to make 300,000 by three territories, right? So we never really focused on it. It was really just like, what does your day look like? What does the fit look like? What are the things that you like to do? What are the things that you don't like to do? And how do we find brands that will do the things that you don't like to do and, you know, will enable you to do the things that you like to do and that you're good at? And so it's just systematically going through that. And a lot of it happens up front, right? During the consult, the questionnaire, the brand matching. But a lot of it also happens later when we're talking to the candidate and we hear stuff like, based on what you're saying, I don't know that this is the right fit anymore. we didn't realize this up front. Maybe we need to go in a little bit of a different direction. So it's really asking good questions ultimately and listening to the client with an open mind.
Right. Yeah. And so many times folks go into it with a certain impression from your experience. What's one counterintuitive truth about finding the perfect franchise that most people completely miss?
I'm going to give you two. The first one is there is no perfect franchise for you. There are several. Uh-huh. And, you know, so what winds up happening is people will say, they'll think narrowly, like, because it's really the traits of a franchise that you're looking at. And there are a lot of really good franchises out there. And so sometimes candidates will think, well, I got to see more. Even though they really like one of them. And so it's making the decision to know that, like, it comes down, which is the second part, it comes down to the franchisee. The success of a franchisee is based on the franchisee. Because if you're in a good system, you have to do the blocking and the tackling. You have to do everything. You're running the business. Nobody else is. And sometimes I hear people say they want a absentee business. I said, businesses aren't built absentee. There's no such thing. You have to be actively involved. Doesn't mean you have to be involved for 60 hours a week, but it has to be your commitment. So if something comes up, it has to be your priority. And so I think just understanding that there's this huge commitment. And that the differentiator, if you look at, you know, any franchise system, if there are 100 franchisees and the top one's doing a few million dollars and the bottom one's doing, you know, significantly less than that, there's, you know, most of the territories are going to be pretty similar. The operations, the systems are all exactly the same. It comes down to the individual. And so they have to own their success, their struggles, and if they're not committed, they won't get there.
That is certainly counterintuitive. That was great. There is no one perfect franchise. Okay, there's multiple. All right, that makes sense. The one that really got me, though, Mark, was that the success is largely dependent on the operator, the one that's executing and ensuring that whatever that way is, for us, it's the Lime way, but that Lime way is consistently on. Because regardless if you're absentee, passive, semi, whatever the, if you have a team in place, you're still 100% accountable. Yep. And that's the key. You are accountable. It's your business. And so if there isn't leads being generated, if there are not proposals being signed, if there's not customers that are writing positive reviews, those things are ultimately dependent on your leadership and you ensuring that proven process, that way, is delivering value in the market. That was counterintuitive. My gosh. So Mark, what you're saying is that is actually the norm, that folks don't realize that. All right, I should just say that's a common counterintuitive thought. I mean, that's something that comes across your desk enough for you to say that. That just seems, yeah, counterintuitive. That's interesting.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's I'm buying a franchise. They know what to do. I'm going to show up and it's going to succeed. Doesn't work that way.
Right. Absolutely. My gosh, words of wisdom. Right? Who would have thought, as a business owner, you're accountable to your results. And that is key. You know, I've gone into markets so many times across the country with our franchise owners and have done ride-alongs. And every single time I am inspired because, it is entrepreneurship on full display. You are 100%. In a business for yourself, but not by yourself. So the beautiful thing about franchising is you have a whole ecosystem community that is aligned with you in learning that way, so that depending on where you're at in your business, whether you're new or a vet, expanding out of state or to other markets, you're always challenging and hitting crossroads. And the benefit is that you have a community, because fear creeps in, my goodness. And it is critical to identify that and to lean on advisors and a community. It is the strongest. We talked about multipliers quite a bit. It is by far our strongest multiplier as people, as humans. It's community and communication. And that's one of my passions about franchising and why I love it so much. The core of it being in business for yourself, but not by yourself, so that as you get in stride as a business owner and you develop the momentum and the habits and the skills that are required to integrate with your business and to accomplish whatever it is that you look to get out of your journey as a business owner. My gosh, Mark, I could chat with you about this all day. The time has certainly flown by. And again, I have leveled up from this conversation. But I have one final question for you. Why do you love franchising so much?
Changing people's lives. It gives us the opportunity to meet amazing people, help amazing people, and watch them change their lives. Business ownership from a professional standpoint and a life standpoint, aside from my family, is the best decision I ever made. It has changed my life in so many positive ways. And, you know, to have the privilege of being able to help people change their lives, that's it. Nothing gets better. You know, you get to a point in life where it's just, how can you make the world a better place, right? How can you change the world? And you do it one life at a time. Mm.
One life at a time, one day at a time, one franchise matched perfectly for that aspiring business owner. Mark, thank you for your time and thank you for being on the show.
I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for having me. This was wonderful. I learned a lot.
And if somebody's interested in working with the perfect franchise, how can they do that?
Yeah, best thing to do is reach out to me and I will match you up with one of our great consultants. It's mark@theperfectfranchise.com, Mark with a K, @theperfectfranchise.com.
You heard it right from Mark. My gosh, hit the subscribe down below. It's how we are able to continue growing and bringing incredible world-class leaders like Mark onto the show. Drop a comment. We would love to hear your thoughts. So many great things covered here. Thanks again, Mark. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit linepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.